in his middle age, after spending a quarter century of marital bliss with Hazrat Khadija, peace upon her. Before we present you a special program in this regard, here is a passage to contemplate upon that shows the exalted status of the First Lady of Islam in the Divine Court. O Muhammad, Khadija is coming to your presence. Convey salutations of Allah to her and give her glad tidings that Allah has made a house for her in paradise wherein there is neither grief nor sorrow. What you heard were the words of Archangel Gabriel to the Almighty's last and greatest messenger regarding his loyal and virtuous wife, Hazrat Khadija, the Ummul Mu'minin, or the mother of all true believers, peace upon her. Accordingly, the Prophet of Islam conveyed to her the Almighty's greetings, and the devoted lady thanked God Almighty, glorified him as the source of all peace, serenity and salutations, and prostrated to him out of gratitude. Every year on the 10th of Ramadan, our grief is renewed for Hazrat Khadija, peace upon her. Her departure from the mortal world shortly after the easing of the 3-year economic social boycott imposed by the Arabs on the Prophet of Islam was a great blow for the loving husband. It was also an irreparable loss for the orphan daughter that the virtuous mother, having died in a state of poverty after having spent all her proverbial wealth to feed, clothe, and shelter the persecuted Muslim community, was leaving behind no money for even a shroud, let alone inheritance for little Fatimatu Zahra, peace upon her. The aggrieved husband, who was not destined to find a worthy replacement for Khadija, peace upon her, despite taking several women as spouses in the last 10 years of his life out of social necessity, dug the grave personally. He then descended into it to smooth the earth and bless it, wrapped his faithful wife in the heavenly shroud brought by Archangel Gabriel, and laid her to eternal rest, while their only surviving child watched the tears rolling down her cheeks. Nearby stood in profound grief the Prophet's dear ward and teenage cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. After performing the last rites, the widowed Prophet consoled his orphan daughter and for a while became speechless to her question. O father, where has my mother gone? He broke his silence when Gabriel descended and revealed the following divine commandment to him. Your Lord commands you to inform Fatima that he sends his blessings upon her and says, your mother is in a house of brocade. Its corners are made of gold, and its poles are of rubies. It is located between the houses of Asiye bint Muzahim and Maryam bint Imran, the Virgin Mother of Prophet Jesus, peace upon him. Little Fatima, peace upon her, was a picture of profound patience, and expressing gratitude in the divine court, she said, surely Allah is Salam, or eternal peace, and peace is from him and to him. Ummul Mu'minin Hazrat Khadija, peace upon her, needs no introduction. Daughter of the wealthy monotheist merchant Khuwailid ibn Asad, she was linked by five generations to the same pedigree as that of the Prophet's clan of Quraysh, known for her wisdom, knowledge, dignity, excellent temperament, and spotless character. She was acclaimed as Tahire, or the pure and chaste, even in those pre-Islamic days. Her trade caravans that plied the routes from Mecca to Yemen, Syria, and other far-off places earned her the epithet Malikat al-Arab, which means the richest lady of all Arabia. On hearing of the reputation of the Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, who had not yet been commanded by God to announce his universal mission of Islam, she entrusted him with management of her trade affairs. Impressed by the 25-year-old youth's honesty in discharging his duties and having confirmed his scrupulous handling during a trade trip abroad, through her servants in the caravan, that he was really Sadiq, or the truthful, and Amin, or the trustworthy, she proposed marriage to him. The Prophet consulted his uncle and guardian, Hazrat Abu Talib, peace upon him, and soon the nuptials were solemnized with great rejoicing, to the extent that for over a month the holy Mecca was entertained to a daily feast. The two made an excellent mate for each other pair, and 15 years later, when divine revelation dawned upon the husband, the dedicated wife immediately believed in his mission as the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to mankind. Thereafter, she spent all her wealth in the propagation of Islam. Couple became parents of several children, including son Qasim, from whom the Prophet derived his agnomen or kunya, Abu Qasim. But all died in infancy except the youngest daughter, Fatimatu Zahra, peace upon her, who was conceived after the Prophet's return from Mi'raj, or ascension to the highest point in the heavens and back to the planet Earth in the twinkling of an eye, and his tasting of the fruits of paradise. That is one of the reasons God has referred to Hazrat Fatima, peace upon her, as Kauthar, or a spring of perpetual abundance, in the Noble Quran. Islam will always remain indebted to Hazrat Khadija, peace upon her. Her house was the cradle of Islam, and it was she who nursed and reared Islam for over 10 years till she closed her eyes forever on the 10th of Ramadan. As her future son-in-law, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, who grew up in her house, as the Prophet's ward, said decades later in one of his famous sermons titled Al-Qasiyah, Sermon 191 of the famous book Nahjul Balagha, "In those days, Islam did not exist in any house except that of the Prophet of Allah and Khadija, while I was the third after these two. I used to see and watch the effulgence of divine revelation and breathe the fragrance of the prophethood." After her passing away, life would never be the same for the Prophet, though he would marry 9 wives in the last 10 years of his life in Medina out of social necessity and to break the customs of Jahiliyyah. This is evident by the famous hadith mentioned in the book Sahih Bukhari of our Sunni brethren, when a certain wife tried to taunt him for always cherishing the memory of the late Khadija, peace upon her, and calling herself a better one. The Prophet felt annoyed and said, "By God, the Almighty did not grant me a better wife than her. She believed in me when the people used to mock at me, and she acknowledged me when the people denied me. She shared her wealth and property with me, and she bore me children which I was not destined to have through other women." Even after a millennium and 4 centuries after her death, although the godless Wahhabis destroyed her holy tomb in 1925, Khadija, peace upon her, reigns supreme. In every era and place, it was her offspring who rose to the defense of Islam, as is evident by the tragic martyrdom of her grandson Imam Hussein, peace upon him, in Karbala. In our times, the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, who delivered Iran from domestic despotism and U.S. hegemony and revived Islam, was a descendant of Hazrat Khadija, peace upon her, and so is the present leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. We once again offer heartfelt condolences on the passing away anniversary of Hazrat Khadija, peace upon her, and this time to her virtuous descendant, the Lord of the Age, Imam Mahdi. May God hasten his reappearance to rid the planet of all vestiges of oppression and corruption by establishing the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the 7th supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on the supplication of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. We just began discussing verse number 10, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, "Indeed, my capacity has been straightened, my Lord, due to what has befallen me, and I am filled with worry by caring what has happened to me, while you have the power to remove what has afflicted me." We said that the meaning of "indeed my capacity has been straightened due to what has befallen me, my Lord," this verse that Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam expresses, we must understand that because Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is not only dictating this to only teach, but rather he also expresses it in his own level. And therefore, it is beyond our description of what is he talking about. Although we understood what he wanted to say in our own level, but there is a deeper interpretation to that which is beyond the scope of our minds, because we are in a very limited level of comprehension. When you talk of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, when you talk of the Holy Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, their level of perfection is beyond description. And therefore, what they meant by saying that, you know, "indeed my capacity has been straightened, my Lord, due to what has befallen me," that is something beyond our understanding. That we should seek the knowledge from them themselves, that what did you mean by saying this? We must understand that unlike a group of people, a group of scholars also, who say that these supplications were only for the sake of teaching others, a group of muhakkikin, that means those very well-versed scholars, believe that actually it is not only teaching, but also Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam means it. Now, in what level does he mean it? And so on. This is something which is worthy of reflection.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
and then Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam continues and says, "I am filled with worry by caring that what has happened to me, while you have the power to remove what has afflicted me." We interpret it in our level and we say that how, due to some calamities that come, our situation is constrained. The calamity itself is that constriction and the narrowing down of our capacities. Due to what? Due to what we have ourselves done in the previous years. Because of the problems that we have created for ourselves, that is why we find that, you know, our capacity has become narrow. And because of that, we are worried of what will happen in the future. I cited some examples, but today I would like to cite another tangible example, because it actually pertains to many of us. And that is, you know, throughout the years you had, alhamdulillah, Allah gave you beautiful children, beautiful daughters and sons, but you were very indifferent of their upbringing. You said, "I have a lot of money, I'll make sure that they are happy," but you did not realize that that is not what happiness is all about, to give them physical attention, rather to give them spiritual attention. After some years, when they have become old, and not very old, but of that prime age of youth, you find that problems are occurring. And at that time, your capacity is limited because you can't tell them at that time. They have actually made their whole structure that way. Especially when a person has already crossed 21. When a person has already crossed 21, that is that age, if you look at the riwayat, that after that, it is a very crucial age. If a person, you find if your child really is a mu'min, is doing the right things, wants to attain his perfection, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously because you did the right things. But if you find that no, he is indifferent of religion, he is indifferent of the hereafter, then you have to actually pray for him. And that is the time when you say actually, oh Allah, my capacity is straightened, it is narrowed down due to what I have already committed. So oh Allah, remove it, remove these worries that I have for the future, that you are actually worried of the future of your own children. Because what will they do when they come to the society? How would they behave when they come to the society and so on? So this is something, but with regard to our level that we are talking of, as I said, that Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is also reciting this supplication, and therefore he has something more sublime to express before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is beyond our description, and which some of the mystics actually mention in their works. But due to the limit of this discussion here, we would not like to go into the details.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
And then the last phrase that we talked about in our previous session, وَأَنْتَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ كَشْفِ مَا مُنِيتُ بِهِ. You are the person who is able to take out the situation, to take out the problems that are facing. Because, you know, and we have examples of people that they did not train their children well, but because of supplication and because of struggle after a certain period, they really could train their children and to bring them properly, slowly and gradually, although 21 years had passed, but it was with difficulty, with what we called a kind of a friendship with them, you know, because the rectification period is not a very easy period. وَأَنْتَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ كَشْفِ مَا مُنِيتُ بِهِ. While you have the power to remove what has afflicted me and to repel that into which I have fallen. Inshallah, we'll continue with our next discussion. Next time we come to the end of the discussion. وَالْحَمْدُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا
Food for thought.
Dear friends, and condolences to you all on the poignant anniversary of the passing away of the First Lady of Islam, the mother of all true believers, Umm al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Khadija, peace be upon her. As narrated in the famous Sunni compilation of Hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, once, when one of his young wives tried to chide him for always remembering Khadija, he said, "By God, the Almighty did not grant me a better wife than her. She believed in me when the people used to mock at me, and she acknowledged me when the people denied me. She shared her wealth and property with me, and she bore me children, which I was not destined to have through other women.
IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The Light.
In Hong Kong schools, robots are helping children with autism to live a better life. These robots are part of an educational program called Robot for Autism Behavioral Intervention, or RABI. It is designed for individuals with autism between 3 and 18 years of age and aims to make them more social. The robots engage the children with role-playing and verbal interaction, helping them to resolve issues such as conflicts and bullying. The program was developed by a Hong Kong professor, Catherine So. She says the program will help fight social deprivation of a certain group of people.
We would believe that RABI can help them to, you know, improve their social and behavioral skills, and in turn, enhancing their quality of their life. So to reduce being excluded in the society, and also help them to be included in the future.
Catherine says using robots also helps keep the program structured and predictable, as autistic people are hypersensitive to voices and facial expressions. The program she launched in 2015 has now been adopted in more than 20 non-profit groups and public schools in the country. More than 1,200 children have used it so far. Museum in London has transformed its gift shop into a mini supermarket, selling artist-designed food to help an industry largely affected by the coronavirus pandemic. The Design Museum has reopened its shop after the help of 10 artists. It sells essential products with packaging designed by emerging artists. The market offers goods at the same price of normal markets, both online and at the marketplace. The initiative is led by Camille Walala, who says her project is aimed at supporting the artists reading from the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, the project is to support artists, and I think because obviously at the moment there's no exhibition, people can't really show any of their creative work, and it's nice to have like a feedback when you're creative. It's nice to know, you know, if people like your work. I think this is a really nice platform to just bring artwork on like everyday product, and actually people are going to probably come and just buy them and probably keep them as a piece of art, like, you know, an affordable piece of art from some artists that you like. I think it's a really nice way to display art, so yeah, I think.
Walala says the project also conveys the message that creativity is as important for living as the other essentials. She says the creative supermarket will also help the museum, which has seen a drop of more than 90% in income because of the pandemic. The shop is open for just 5 days, but artists expect heavy demand. The worldwide trends show people rapidly moving toward modern vehicles now, especially electric cars. But Parisians saw a very unusual kind of EV driving around the city, similar to the one people were using over a century ago. A replica of the 1881 vehicle by French inventor Gustave Trouve was made to celebrate what is regarded as the 140th anniversary of the first viable electric car. Trouve, who is believed to have driven the world's first electric car, combined a rechargeable battery and a cycle, something very similar to a modern e-bike. The car has a motor to assist you, but you can still pedal at the same time.
So Gustave Trouvot, when he combined an electric motor, a rechargeable battery and a cycle very similar to this one, that would be one of the earliest, if not the earliest, electric vehicle to be seen on the roads.
A Victorian cycle engineer built the vehicle in North Yorkshire, England. It took him some 2 months to come up with the replica with materials that closely match those used by Trouvot himself. Like the original, it has an average speed of approximately 16 kilometers per hour. NASA's small helicopter has made history as it successfully completed its flight on Mars. Receiving instructions from Earth, Ingenuity managed to rise to about 3 meters, hovered for 30 seconds, and then landed on the red planet. The mission marked the first powered, controlled flight on another planet. The helicopter weighs only 1.8 kilograms, has four legs, and is powered by solar panels. Flying a helicopter on Mars is hard because there is not much air to push against to generate the necessary lift. Creative artist in Belgium has come up with an alternative to the face masks, a portable oasis. Alain Vercheron says the mini greenhouse allows him to connect with people while observing social distancing during the coronavirus pandemic. However, the idea is not new. It came to his mind 15 years ago, inspired by the lush oasis he encountered while working in Tunisia.
An oasis is a place of calm, tranquility, cool and well-being in the deserts. Here, the fact of having an oasis containing medicinal plants means I am also protecting myself from harm coming from the outside, just like I could at an oasis in the middle of the desert.
Doesn't that look bizarre? Well, he says he has asthma and breathing with the device is easier than a face mask. The 61-year-old artist hopes his invention also raises awareness of environment protection. Pumas are solitary animals that do not usually get along well with humans. However, a Russian family has been living with an extraordinarily friendly mountain lion for 5 years. Now, Alexandra and Maria Dmitriev bought little Messi from a zoo 5 years ago. The cat could barely walk then. With the tender care of the couple, he soon regained his strength. Messi's growth was stunted due to his malnutrition. Interestingly, the adorable puma has never shown any aggression toward humans. Well, looks very friendly. Messi's family has converted their home to meet his natural needs. They have also set up social media accounts for him on Instagram and YouTube, where he has millions of followers.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Malaysian farmers tap classical music and massages to grow one of the world's most expensive fruits, Japanese muskmelons. The farmers believe the method is the best way to grow Japanese muskmelons in Malaysia's hot tropical weather. They regularly rub the melons with a soft cloth or glove. That's a practice, the farmers say, enhance the melon's flavor. To stimulate their growth, classical music is played in greenhouses. And now, all these efforts have paid off following constant trials. The farmers are finally selling their prized luxury fruits of labor on the market.
April is usually marked by multi-day festivities across much of Southeast Asia, including Myanmar, as they observe the Buddhist New Year. The traditional New Year in Myanmar this year began on Tuesday with five-day celebrations known as Tengyan. The occasion is usually celebrated with prayers, ritual cleaning of Buddha images in temples, and public water splashing on the streets. They think water can wash their souls and all evil deeds. People also flock to temples with traditional pots containing flowers and receive blessing from monks. But typically, joyous period of celebration is looking very different this year amid coronavirus and political crises in Myanmar.
A dozen lucky penguins have been returned to the wild after rehabilitating from malnutrition and anemia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Argentina. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists. Some of them had lost their plumage due to malnutrition, but they recovered their feathers after receiving special nutrients. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after a Portuguese explorer, Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile. People in Britain are marking the easing of lockdowns implemented to curb the coronavirus pandemic. Words like freedom, hope, family, reunion, and relief have been projected on the walls of the UK's most iconic landmarks, as well as shops and department stores, to show people's feelings. A British company commissioned a survey to find the words that best summed up people's feeling after months of lockdown began to be lifted on Monday. Those celebrating the event say reunion is the word that can best express their feelings.
The most powerful word in there for me is reunion. We've all been apart from each other, friends, loved ones, colleagues, who are also loved ones, I suppose, in some cases, and really looking forward to getting back to my friends and family that I haven't seen for a long time, and imagine a lot of the British public are too.
The event comes as the UK has been the worst hit nation with a pandemic across Europe. The country saw a staggering number of infections and deaths for months. This prompted authorities to impose restrictions in an effort to bring the pandemic under control.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear sisters and brothers in faith and humanity, Salamu Alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special in the month of Ramadan. Today is the demise anniversary of Lady Khadija, peace be upon her. So accept our condolences on this day.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا
Today, Friday, is the 10th of Ramadan, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the 3rd of Ordibehesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. On the commemoration of demise anniversary of Lady Khadija, the dear wife of the Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, accept our condolences. Now we'll listen to verse 3 in chapter At-Talaq.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا.
And will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish His purpose. Allah has already set for everything a decreed extent.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that God will provide him from sources that he could have never imagined, and whosoever puts his trust in Allah, he will suffice him, since Allah will accomplish his purpose and he has set a measure for all things. Thus, male and female witness are warned against entertaining fear of problems resulting from treading the path of truth, but they are enjoined to administer justice and invoke God for removing the impediment, since he guarantees that whoever puts his trust in Allah, he will be delivered from entanglement. Relying on other than Allah. The disease that affects the heart is the one that is the cause of many diseases of the heart. Relying on other than Allah can be traced back to a lack of certainty that an impaired sense of faith and trust in Allah. Relying on other than Allah encompasses both desiring as well as fearing other than Him, which cannot run parallel to complete trust and reliance on Allah. That is tawakkul. One of the most beautiful hadith that reflects the true reliance on Allah summarizes the whole issue. Be mindful of Allah and He will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him before you. When you ask, ask Allah, and when you seek aid, seek Allah's aid. Know that if the entire creation were to gather together to do something to benefit you, you would never get any benefit except that Allah had ridden for you. And if they were to gather to do something to harm you, you would never be harmed except that Allah had ridden for you. The pens are lifted and pages are dried.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم يا كريم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Greetings dear brothers and sisters, and welcome. Thank you guys for joining us. You guys heard the part of Allahumma ja'alni fihi min al-mutawakkilin alayk. O Allah, on this day, include me with those who rely upon you, who trust you, whose lives and their wealth, their health, everything in their life is on reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The concept of tawakkul, or relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has been attributed in Shi'ism to those who have certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And certainty does not come unless there is belief with it. A believer should be one with certainty, thus be one with tawakkul, with reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many different benefits. First of all, the stress of relying on other people, on other creations, is gone. You're not afraid if this person does not give you anymore. You are not afraid if this person, you cannot rely on this person anymore. You cannot trust this person anymore. Why? Because all your trust is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True, the factor of aqal wa tawakkal, the story of a man who had a horse or a donkey, and he went to the masjid, to the prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi saw him leaving his animal, which he used to ride, without tying it. He went inside and prayed. When he returned, or he told his companions that, first of all, you must tie, then trust and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that pretty much brings us to the point where we have to also keep in mind the natural causes and effects, if it's true, if it's, you know, correct to say it. The natural things, you know, sometimes, you know, you cannot leave your house unlocked, or, you know, leave your car unlocked in the street and go inside and say, I rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect my car and people to not steal it. That is not the correct attitude that you're supposed to have with the reliance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to follow the natural causes and effects, yet at the same time to have reliance. You did what you had to do. You did what you could do. Thus, you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will protect your car. And if it didn't get protected, then it means something else, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test you with it. Or it means that there's something else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to take and give. There might be wisdom, there might be a plan behind it and whatnot. So for example, you have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reliance for that He is the one that gives you wealth. When you have this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you have to do? Does that mean that you stay at your home and say that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I rely on him to give me wealth? No, it's not like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to go and run for your wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you like how the saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where they asked, what a man asked, what is the least that a man could do to gain wealth, or that he has to do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon him wealth? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is to open the shop, to clean, to sit down. And the rest is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, gives. What He doesn't give, He doesn't give. And see, the fact here, that you know, the soul of this idea is that Allah ordered you to do things and to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after it.
Ramadan, ya Ramadan, ya nafhat al-Rahman. رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
Hazrat Khadija's life and character. Lady Khadija, peace be upon her, was born in Mecca in 555 CE and was a pious and worthy lady, who at the time of pagan regime of the Arabs before Islam was well known as Tahira, that means pure woman. Khadija lived with the Prophet for 25 years and was his only wife during that time. When the revelations came from Allah and Muhammad was made the last prophet, it was Khadija who accepted the faith and became the first Muslim woman. Her acceptance of Islam greatly helped and spread of the religion among the Mecca residents. She stood by the Prophet all the time. In moments of trial and difficulty, the Prophet used to come to her and she consoled and comforted her husband and encouraged him. Khadija's wealth was used for the cause of Islam. dear brothers and sisters, please accept our condolences on the commemoration of the demise of Hazrat Khadija.
Allah.
Preparing for the Akhirah. During her lifetime, Lady Khadija was in form of a serene palace in Jannah for her due to her effort and sacrifice. On one occasion, Angel Gabriel came to the Prophet and said, O Messenger of Allah, Khadija is coming to you with a bowl of soup. When she comes to you, give her greetings from her Lord and from me, and give her the glad tidings of a palace of pearls in paradise, where there will be no noise or tiredness. Some interpret this to be a reward for the calm and tranquil environment that she afforded to the Messenger of Allah. After her passing, Khadija was dearly missed by the Messenger of Allah, and her absence affected him deeply. He would return to visit her resting place as if to refresh the memories of her loyalty and devotion. History proves undeniably that the world has never seen the likes of her.
The day came, my dear brothers and sisters, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi had to farewell Lady Khadija. She became extremely ill, especially after the Sha'b of Abu Talib. Due to days of near starvation, she felt very weakened. When she was about to pass away, Lady Khadija made her will to the Prophet. She told him, Ya Rasulullah, I have three requests, three wills. The Prophet is standing by her side. Yes, Khadija, tell me, what is your request? I'll do anything for you. You gave my religion everything. What can I do for you? She tells him, Ya Rasulullah, my first request, if I have any shortcomings, then please forgive me. The Prophet cried. He told her, Khadija, you stood by my side. Allah gave me children through you. Don't say that. You have no shortcomings with me. She tells him, Ya Rasulullah, my second request. I'm embarrassed to tell you, so I will tell my daughter Fatima. She was maybe around 5 or 6 years old at this time. I will ask Fatima to convey that to you. So the Prophet leaves the room. Lady Khadija meets Lady Fatima, and she tells her to tell the Prophet her second will. Lady Fatima walks out to the Prophet. She tells him, my dear father, Ya Rasulullah, my mother's second request, she says she wants comfort in the grave. Can you take out your shirt and put it in her kafan so that Allah blesses her through your shirt, my father? The Prophet says, yes, I will do that. When he was burying her, he took out his garment and shirt and he placed it in the kafan and the shroud of Lady Khadija. Jibreel descends on the Prophet. Jibreel brings, according to Sahih Hadiths, he brings a kafan from paradise and he tells him, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has also sent a kafan for Khadija. Put this in her grave as well, so Allah will protect her in her grave.
That's all for this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we continue different nice topics which are directly or indirectly related to the month of Allah, the month of Ramadan. We leave you in care and protection of the Almighty.
Oh.
comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.